Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show where two old guys, a guy who is right in the middle of the ages of those two guys, and one rather young lady.
So everyone take a moment and guess who our guest hosts are.
And after her next birthday, I'm not going to call her one rather young lady anymore, and it's going to make her, it's going to upset her.
It is going to upset her.
I'm still always going to be the youngest person in the room, so.
And her age is always going to be the same difference right. from ours, mm-hmm. so.
But then you'll be in your late.
Don't want to talk about that?
Nope.
So this is part two of IGN's 14th ranked game, Earthbound.
Earthbound.
Chrono Trigger.
So, of course, we talked about it last week. So this week,
I'm glad you remember.
We're having on Josh and Nicole Nance because mm-hmm. they both, of course, to prove her love to Josh, she had to be Earthbound a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. I had to wait until after we were married before I proved my love.
She hasn't completely.
It's a pretty good deal.
Proved her love. She's. 3/5 proved her love.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
3/5? What are the other 2/5?
The Final Fantasy.
What is that, like a...
Final Fantasy, what?
2 and 3.
2 and 3, 4
that
and 6.
That makes me like a slave. I count as 3/5 of a person. That was the rule, uh-huh. right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Was that the rule?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really shitty.
Yeah.
We're awful.
Slavery, it was awful.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I guess... Tadpog can take a stance.
Yeah.
Slavery was pretty bad.
We'll take the unpopular opinion. It's pretty awful.
We're going to go with thumbs down for slavery.
What kind of beer do you give slavery?
If you want to give us controversial issues, just throw them at us and we'll say thumbs up or thumbs down.
I like it.
Slavery, thumbs down.
We promise.
Very controversial, Nicole.
We promise to always take the unpopular side.
We are in Western Kentucky, so yes.
Okay, fair enough.
We're a little more progressive.
We're only like a mile or two away from Marshall County.
We're so. Western Kentucky, yeah. not Eastern.
Well, I am your bearded host, Tyler, and I have a question/intro story.
Okay, great.
One, the question, have your parents, because we've talked about my dad catching me masturbating. So to expand upon that, have either one of your parents, grandparents, aunt, uncle, any family member caught you fooling around with somebody else?
Fooling around with somebody else, not mm-hmm. With yourself?
Not with yourself, with another human being.
Okay.
Another human being.
Who are you asking?
Everyone.
Everyone?
Yeah. Okay, even John Turley, who's over on the couch chilling.
What's up? couldn't wait out a Wednesday, John. Our audience surrogate. You're actually the audience now. So it's good. I remember my mom telling me, she told this story years after, like one of my first dates, like one of my first real dates. I was not old enough to drive yet, so she drove me. And she.
What constitutes a real date?
Well, you'll see.
Okay.
What constitutes a real date. She dropped me, my mom pulls up into this girl's driveway. It's night. We had done like the really shitty early teenage date where it's like a movie in like Olive Garden or something like that. And then
we still do that.
Not necessarily in that order. And then so my mom pulled up in the driveway. The girl gets out and I get out to walk her to her door. And the girl like grabs the back of my head and pulls me in to kiss me. And like my mom still to this day like talks about that. And she's like, I couldn't believe that she did that. She's like, that just made me so sad to see you so grown up.
Props to your mom for not like honking the horn or jumping out or anything.
She was cool about it. She straight up let us make out for like 20 seconds in front of the car. You know,
good.
I was a young teenager and really didn't care if my mom was watching. I don't know.
Like you were at like the girl's front door, like you were right in front of your mom's headlights in front of the car.
Pretty much like right in front of the car. She just couldn't wait. She just couldn't wait to get this mouth all up on her mouth.
That's how Dave rolls.
But no, I don't think. And I mean, like when my parents come to visit now, it's not like we don't have sex. So, but like they don't walk
you
in
and
or
Nikki.
Anything. No. My parents and I have a really super.
It's only my parents saying that we don't have sex.
We have a super cool relationship. You might not understand. It's a little progressive. We like to keep an open mind. Nikki actually usually just watches. She's not, for some reason, she's not cool with it. I don't understand. No. Oh, I'll pass. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then my mom will tell that story. And then that's when it always comes out. But no, I haven't really ever been caught fooling around. I've been caught, obviously, masturbating. I think that happens to everybody.
Not me.
No?
No, I haven't been caught masturbating even to this day.
Nicole has no idea. You put it up real quick. She doesn't know.
Mastered the art. Now, the closest I've ever been caught to doing anything like that was when my mom found your stash of cum in the carpet.
You talk like I was secretly squirreling it away for a project to be named later.
Were you not?
I was just too lazy to go to the bathroom. Your carpet was so plush. So plush.
So
did that carpet get replaced? What happened with that?
No, I think it's still
there. Is the cum carpet still
there? I had to clean it up. But yeah.
When Tadpog is over, we'll auction off that square of the carpet.
AKA yeah. The spot that the dog always sniffs.
The closest I've came is my mom confronting me about that spot, saying, I know what you were doing. You need to stop, and made me clean it up.
Well, okay. Your dad knows that you... like look at porn, because I remember we didn't know like how to clear our internet history back in the day. And when I told you about Sublime Directory having those naked pictures of Tiffany Amber Thiessen, it was like an hour of us debating like, are we gonna look at these? It's gonna be really risky. Your dad might find out, so we just went ahead and rolled the dice.
That's Kelly Kapowski, man. You gotta look at it. You gotta look.
So,
at
yeah,
it.
So yeah, we looked it up. We were very pleased, and then we thought that to get it off internet history, we just put in random URLs to move it off the click down.
Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, we went to Walmart.com.
DietCoke.com.
Not naked Tiffany Amber Thiessen.com. God.com. HandsomeBoys.com.
Yeah. Nicole, anything? Either way?
No to being interrupted masturbating. As far as being interrupted fooling around with someone, that is yes on multiple accounts. So
then we have several stories to hear.
It was never like, oh my God, what are you doing? Stop that. It was just like, and close the door and walk off.
Like so. It must have been not like just making out then, not too severe. Not like,
let me pull this out and say something.
No, like he pulls out his hand, you hear a pop, and the door shuts.
Maybe a little bit.
Now, what's the most severe then out of all these occasions? You talked about the otter.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's different because
everybody was very impressed at that story that you told.
Yeah,
that story.
It's true. I've heard a lot of feedback.
Other people involved. I don't want
to. Well, don't say their names.
Yeah.
Well, I have a very short list, so.
Well, but no one knows that.
Yeah.
You know, no one knows who's on that list.
No one at all.
No one.
Not like the people in this room.
No one. I don't. Josh doesn't. Tyler does. Tyler definitely does.
I do.
He's got it written down in a notebook.
Tyler knows everybody's list. That's his thing. So.
And I had to look up all of Nicole's exes on Facebook and judge them.
In front of her?
One of them was in front of her.
Click. What were you thinking? Look at this guy's hair. Click. Now, this guy looks like he's got a tiny penis. Click.
No, I mean, it was more than making out, but...
Give us a base number.
Dry humping.
A base number?
Mm-hmm.
What are the bases?
First being kissing.
It's all
kissing.
Different, right?
Okay, here's what I believe the bases are. First being kissing, mm-hmm. two being anything with hands, third base being oral. Yeah. Then home run being
was sex.
Fucking.
Yeah, fucking.
See, that's not the way I would put the bases, but okay, so then second base.
Okay.
How would you put the bases?
Because like Oral's not on my bases.
Really?
Yeah. I never would be like
never
first.
Never done it. Ever.
Was it like,
Oral.
Was it like shortstop?
I don't understand
what Oral does. No, it'd be like first base would be kissing. Uh-huh. Second base would be overclose. Above the belt. And oh, okay. Second base is below the belt. And
on both parties?
Yeah.
Or just the girl?
Well, I mean, they're not going to walk in with me with my hands up your shirt. So, I mean.
That'd be doubly as weird. Why is Josh's wife here giving you a chest massage? Dave's fucking his parents at home.
Well, what Dave does is Dave's business.
Well, see, the most severe that I ever happened to me was my high school girlfriend and I. Well, one, all throughout high school, I had a waterbed. I had a king-size waterbed.
Because you were fancy like that.
I was fancy.
You were like 1980s luxury.
There's no hiding anything on a waterbed because of the ripples. So like if somebody walks in on you masturbating, you cover up real quick, but the bed is still quivering from the motion.
It rockets you out of the bed.
Like, I mean, the sound whenever you are doing anything, like it's like the sound of yeah.
Man, you masturbate hard.
I make waves of my masturbatory flow. But we are in the bed, fooling around. She is giving me a hand job and like blankets up. We were smarter. We closed the door, had the blankets covering everything, mm-hmm. and she was doing it. Then suddenly my mom walks in. So, I mean, you can't hide.
I was
going to
say, that's the reason she walked in is because you were in your room with your girlfriend with the door closed. Of course, mm-hmm. your mom's going to walk in.
And you were like, Dave's parents are cool with this. I mean, maybe something's going to happen.
Well, immediately what I did was I threw her out of bed. So the area, there was about a 2-foot gap between my wall and the edge of the bed. So I tried to make it look like I was wrestling her, and I flipped her and crammed her in that corner of the bed. Uh-huh. And made sure the covers were still wrapped around my waist while I was you couldn't see my erection while I'm cramming her into the corner of the bed.
I wish she wouldn't have let me go of your dick. I wish she would have just held on. You had to make a crucial decision.
She was cool though. She was cool.
Your mom or the chick?
My mom just said, I don't like you guys napping in bed together. And then she shut the door back.
Yeah, Pam Paul and they're mm-hmm. napping.
Do you think she knows what's up, right?
My mom has a strong sense of denial.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would have known immediately.
But like deep down, she knows.
She had to have known deep down that she would have just like bared it. Like yeah. When you see Cthulhu, you know the truth, but your mind tricks itself into right. not thinking it's real.
She's really good at those sanity roles.
Yes.
Good.
I think your dad would have been proud.
Yeah,
a little bit. He might have felt obligated to get mad at you or punish you in some way, but like deep down, he would have been.
Well, whenever she was over at the house, because the garage that he worked in was like a quarter of a mile down our driveway, and we had an intercom system. So if she was over and we were up in the house alone, he would always buzz the intercom and say, "I'm coming home."
That's very considerate.
So. Yeah, super considerate. Did your parents? I mean, obviously, you had the door closed, so I know the answer in your case. But Josh, Nicole. What was the rule? Like if you had a person of the opposite gender over at your house in your room, were you allowed to close the door?
Yes.
Josh? You're thinking really hard about this.
Was it an issue?
Yeah, no.
Do you have girls over?
No. The only time I did was whenever...
That party I was really impressed with.
My parents were out of town. I had a party. We had our fight club. Girls started coming over for that, but I mean, my dad was in the living room the whole time. Yeah,
the one like drinking party you had co-ed at your house, like we were like seniors maybe.
Yeah.
And I remember you and another friend like built up the shot contest. You're like, you're in an Indiana Jones style tequila shot contest. And like you built it up for like 2 hours before you busted it down at the table. And we had like a big bottle of tequila and each of you had a shot glass. You're going to take a shot and turn it over and we'd count them up. You took one and you were out. And the friend took a sip, spit it out, and that was it.
Yeah. Hey, we're pretty badass.
That would be me today. Fucking tequila, man.
I've watched Josh take 11 shots of vanilla vodka, so he can drink when he has a mind to.
There was no reason for me to bring anybody over because we had our friend Cody's house who lived with his...
His bad parenting.
Yeah, his single mom. And that was the hangout house. We also had another group of friends, two brothers that we would always hang out with. Mm-hmm. They lived like in a loft on top of their garage. And we'd always go over there. Yeah. So there was no reason for me to...
So that's where you took the girls to...
I didn't really take any girls. Mostly that was...
They were already there.
It was a group thing.
They took you. You were selected.
Mm-hmm. So that is where you did sexual things with girls in high school.
I didn't really do any sexual things. I was pretty pure.
And now are you just saying that because Nicole's here, or are you just... Or is that for real?
I'll qualify that statement. Josh, you just tried in college.
Tadpog Nation, you can't see. My wife just gave me a consoling pat on the back.
That wasn't a consoling. I was being proud that you saved yourself for the right girl.
Yep, totally.
Yeah, that's
that'll be another story.
That's a bitch, ain't it?
Yeah.
What's up, internet? I'm your respectable host. I feel like I've talked a lot already, so I don't even know if I need to tell a story, but... I guess I will. This is in the same vein you guys were talking about, going to whitehouse.gov and shit to wipe out that Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I remember that...
Whitehouse.com, however, was porn.
Exactly. And that's what I used to pull that goof at school, and that got me in trouble a few times. But I remember my parents were pretty liberal about sexuality and porn for the most part. I remember my dad had a conversation with me when I was a young teenager, probably around Las Vegas, jerking at age. And he said, I know you're going to look at porn. It's fine. Just don't look at porn around me. Like keep it secret, keep it safe kind of deal. And I was like, okay, all right, this is cool. My dad's pretty cool.
The don't ask, don't tell porn.
Exactly. I was like, this is pretty awesome. I got free reign. And then we got the internet. And I started downloading all these like porn clips. I'm like, all right. And well, mainly they were photos because let's face it, I'm an old guy. So we didn't really have a lot of video when I was a teenager. So there are
those 15 second clips on repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real player.
So it was a lot of them were just a whole bunch of albums. And I remember like one night my dad came to my bedroom and he was like, hey, we need to talk. I was like, oh, okay. What do we need to talk about? He's like, I found your porn. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm feeling like everything's so far, no red flags are going up. I'm like, this is cool. It's fine. We're gonna have a discussion. He's like, I know that I told you that like looking at porn is okay and it's natural, but not what you're looking at. And he said, I'm not going to tell your mom, but I have deleted what you've got. And I was just like, I'm fucking stunned and speechless. So, and I didn't really like.
What's okay to jerk it to, Daddy? Right. What's okay?
I should text him right now. just a selfie, just of my dick with like just the nastiest porn in the background.
Any stories?
No, that's it for me. I mean, I can keep going if you want. I can tell you what the porn was. It was just girls sucking dick. Not too crazy, I don't think.
No,
but
not too crazy.
Anything but...
What's unnatural?
Not too crazy.
It's not missionary.
Yeah, it's not missionary.
Like your dad must have just meant like Playboy.
Meant like Playboy, yeah. And like nothing like penthouse that like insinuated penetration or
no dicks like. And nothing opening. Otherwise, it's fine.
Definitely not. They're both right out.
I don't really have a story. Just I was gonna admit something else that's really weird and kind of creepy.
Great.
That I jerked off to.
Was it? It was the Earthbound Strategy guy. You know this.
Well, I've already admitted that. So that I saw something that reminded me that I actually did jerk off to this. I know. I think you're the only one who here hasn't played Ocarina of Time.
I have not played it. Okay. You're right.
The Great Fairy. For any of those who have played,
that was a good look from John Turley. Yeah. The slow look.
I showed John Turley the clip, and it comes with a creepy laugh.
Just like 18 minutes ago, you did that. Like this. Like, this is must be like a really big thing in your life. Because like we,
no, he jerked off to it. He showed John that we were talking, and he just jerked off over the corner real quick.
Yeah, I'm. Are you saying I jerked off?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I am.
I didn't know you. You didn't say you caught me. Now I showed John Turley earlier because I wanted him to get a reference for whenever I told this. But yeah, it's like all in her 64-bit pixelated cone tits, just hovering creepily
that Tomb Raider
over
triangle
you.
Shit.
Yeah, that's it's pretty terrifying to look at now. So yeah, just YouTube a video of the Great Fairy from Ocarina of Time.
You jerked it to that?
Yeah.
And proud about it. Yeah. I like, that's what I like about it. All right, cool.
I mean, it terrifies me now, but yeah.
Look, Josh, it's totally natural,
it's like
and cool for you to watch porn, but not that.
Remember, I was so excited when I got a Dreamcast because I could use it to look at porn without having to worry about anything. Get that the phone line up. Mm-hmm. Take about 30 minutes to get like Sublime Directory loaded onto that Dreamcast. Cool. And about 10 minutes per link, but worth it.
What's up, Nicole? Tell us a porn story.
I have porn stories. I wasn't going to tell a porn story, but I can.
I mean, I'm interested
in that. What were you going to talk about? And we'll compare that versus porn stories and take a vote.
Well, the porn story, I don't really have any porn stories so much as I can provide examples of watching porn when I was younger. The story I was going to tell is about the only time in my life I've ever mooned a person.
Let's go with that.
You want to hear that one?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay, so me and my two high school friends were on our way to the next town over, which is where the mall and stuff was, because our hometown had nothing. And on the way there, we're in the car and we pass a car of two guys. And so we're making faces at them, they're making faces at us, and we pass them, they pass us, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Flirt driving.
Car flirting.
Yeah. Car flirting. Anyway, and
were they two pretty hot dudes?
No.
No. No. Easy targets.
Well, one was our age.
Uh-huh.
The other one was
Your age. I was.
Our was me and my friend.
I was in my fifth job when you were in high school.
And the other person was not our age. It was like his dad or like his cool uncle or something. Like someone who was old.
His cool uncle.
Clearly older than him.
I'm going to show that cool uncle my asshole.
Anyway, so we're doing this whole deal. And then the next time, like I'm in the back seat. So I get nominated to moon them as we drive by. So when we pass them again, I moon them and then
ass out of the, like, pressed against the glass
pressed
or
ham.
Out the window.
Right.
I prefer to press or hang, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah, press
I prefer
or
hang. To hang.
Okay.
There's no window.
That's more impressive.
Yeah, that is more impressive.
I like the way the wind feels.
Your ass is like a dog.
I'm sure you mean that in the best way possible.
I do. Every time Josh gets in the car, your ass is there.
Anyway, so then after I moon them, then they pass us and they have written their phone number on a piece of paper and pressed it up against the window to give us their phone number. So
you do have a pretty nice ass.
Thank you.
So surely you called them and went on many,
no,
many
absolutely
dates.
No, not, because it was the old guy.
Had a
guy.
Long relationship.
It was the old guy who was holding up the phone number.
Do you have the number still? Can we call him on the show right now?
I don't have the number. Sadly.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That's like the best missed connection ever. Me driving 60 on the interstate.
What?
You,
no,
ass hanging
no, no, no.
out of window.
See, what's really like a weird Doctor Who moment was it would be if we go back to that moment and that phone number starts with a 580.
I do want to clarify, we were not on the interstate. We were on like a back highway. So it wasn't like a 4-lane road. It was a 2-lane windy road.
So you easily could have been murdered.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
So Earthbound part two.
Yep.
How far are we?
About time.
About 30 minutes in?
24 minutes in.
Welcome to our video game podcast. Hey, we got the 40% buttholes out of the way.
Yep. Literally. All right. Earthbound. Do you need to read Wikipedia again or
nope.
Nah.
No, if you want to know what the game is about, go listen to part one. I read Wikipedia then.
So you happen to now you have beaten the game. Since our last recording, you played to like 6:30 one night.
Mm-hmm.
Got most of the way through and then
6:30 p.m.
beat it the other night.
Wow. 6:30 a.m.
Oh. Yeah.
I was actually
at night?
I was leaving Tyler's garage, and it was Sunday morning at 6:30, and I was like, the thought went through my mind how incredibly embarrassing it would be if I like ran into Meg on her way to work to preach. Like, nah, don't mind me. I'm 33 years old. I just stayed up all night playing fucking Earthbound. Have fun at work. I'm going to go eat a hamburger and go to sleep because that's what I did.
Yeah.
Nikki's like, I want IHOP. I was like, I could eat a burger. yeah, I finished it.
Being a grown-up's fun sometimes.
Yeah. But it's not completely shameful. Like that. Yeah, it's pretty great.
All right, so let's see. We haven't heard your guys' opinions on Earthbound. So we'll start with Josh.
I am wearing an Earthbound t-shirt right now.
That's true.
Is that your opinion?
Really? My opinion. I'm glad Nicole went there because I was just kind of like, that's kind of bullshit, Josh. It says Earthbound sucks. See, we could go that way.
No, I love this game. It's, I know... Tyler last week mentioned that it was in his top one or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely in my top five video games all time.
Your wife is
Nicole's
amused.
Yeah, Nicole's laughing at you.
She's amused by your turn of phrase.
No, I'm amused because earlier we were talking about your top five, and so like this is the number one game you'd like to fuck.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
That is a really good question. I'd like to go around the table here. Top five games you'd like to fuck.
You could have one game, suddenly grow a vagina, and you'd fuck it. What would it be?
I had a groom's cake that was in the shape of a starman for my wedding.
You have a picture of that,
our
right?
Our wedding?
Yes.
I was there,
our
too.
Our wedding. I don't know. Probably somewhere, yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we need that for show notes.
I do have one.
But yeah, totally love this game. Played it through several times. Not even sure how many. Last time's probably about a year ago, and then we were watching Dave play a few days ago.
So. Is it a once-a-year kind of thing?
I played it about a year ago, so were you playing it when I played it?
I played it right before you started.
Was it really a year ago?
About, yeah.
Wow. Time flies.
Yeah.
Nicole, what are your thoughts on Earthbound?
I enjoyed this game.
Okay. Got it.
Wow.
All right. I don't want to say too much.
Did it feel like a chore for you to play this game?
I thought that it was.
Because Super Mario RPG was a chore.
No. I don't want to talk about that game. Awful.
Well, this is a better game than Super Mario RPG.
It's absolutely a better
game. This is a better game.
Like, I think that it was a little too long.
I agree with you. I do. I agree with you. There's a part in the game that I think really drags, or it dragged for me, and that's when you start leaving the cities and you start like traveling south to like the jungle and mm-hmm. the underworld and stuff like that. That's where I felt like it started to lose its appeal for me. It was still fun. It just wasn't like as engaging as the four cities.
Yeah, I agree.
I've never felt that way about it, but now when I play it, I know exactly what's coming. So,
right.
You know, and as a kid, you know, the more content they added, the better it would have been.
Sure.
So I didn't really have anything to.
My least favorite part of the game is Deep Darkness, which is the jungle part,
because
I didn't enjoy that very much. But
it's pretty short, though.
You don't go through it that long.
It's like a dungeon.
You're in the marsh. You're just kind of going around. There's not really anybody to talk to. There's not a big comedic element to it. It's just,
I think that it's like Dave said, it's like at that point you're ready for it to kind of start to wrap.
Yeah, I was ready for it to start to wind down. Because it's like this game is probably like a 35-hour game, like if you're playing it leisurely. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably almost hits the 40-hour mark. Maybe it's like a 35 to 38. I feel like this game would have been like better as if it were just like a straight up just a 30-hour game, and they like just cut a little bit of that content off the end. Because I felt like it got to the point where it's like, all right, I'm ready to see the story progress.
Mm-hmm.
I found out something pretty cool about Deep Darkness, the jungle area the other day. You guys probably know this, Josh and Tyler, because then if you guys are like Earthbound.
Current trigger.
But when you beat the game, you can go to, you can essentially go back to all the places you visited, right? And talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's your reward. You can spend hours talking to all the NPCs after you save the world.
Yeah, because they all say something different. Yeah.
That's really cool. I think that's like an excellent gift that the developers give to the player. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And that's another one of those things that I wish other RPGs would kind of do. Like give you something to do after you finish the game. But there is a sound effect that is only heard when you have the bicycle and you ride it through deep dark. it only plays it when you ride the bicycle through the water. Only time in the game that sound effect is played.
See, I've got the bicycle in my notes. I love the bicycle. My favorite part of Earthbound, just playing the whole game as a whole, are the moments when you are just Ness. I absolutely love just being Ness and being by yourself.
You guys talk about the characters very much. You mentioned naming them, but didn't really go into detail about who they are.
We can. There's four. There's four characters. You do name them all in the beginning of the game, which is something I thought that was really cool. And like, there's Ness. We've talked about Ness. He's, I would say, definitely the main character. Mm-hmm. And he is psychic. He has the gift.
It is rumored that he is the son of the two main characters in the original Mother.
I read that too. There's a lot of like disputed lore that surrounds the Mother series. I didn't even realize.
Because I've played Mother 1, 2, and 3, and playing through Mother, like Earthbound is what they wanted Mother to be, but the technology just wasn't there yet. They couldn't do what they wanted because there are so many similarities.
Was Mother original Famicom, do you know?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, cool. So they literally didn't possess the technology to make it what they wanted.
Yeah, they just did not have, and that's why like the character design, names, a lot of the story, like everything is so similar. And it's just like, well, we can do what we want to do now. Now we'll do Mother 2 is what we want to do. So that's how I feel about it.
So they kind of hedged their bets?
I believe so.
Where would you put Mother 2, a.k.a. Earthbound, like in the ranking of all the Mother games? Because you've played all three of them.
It is... above and beyond the best.
It is, okay.
I mean, I enjoy Mother 3. I think it is a really good game. It's not as good as Earthbound.
Isn't there a fan-made game in the works?
Mother 4, that is completely fan-made. And Atoy said, like, Atoy has been quoted, like, I'm just tired of making Earthbounds. I would like to play one of these. So he said, once these fans are done making it, and he plays it, if he enjoys it, he will make it canon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And Lucas was from Mother 3, is that right?
Yes.
Lucas was one of the playable characters in Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. It is rumored that he is Ness's son.
Oh, really? Okay.
That the character of Cliff in Mother 3 is actually Ness, who has, in order to live a normal life, suppressed all his powers. And he and Paula move on together.
Interesting.
Paula is the second character you get.
Also psychic.
Yeah, she's your psychic powerhouse. She's got the most damaging psychic spells.
She's your black mage.
Yeah,
yeah. And she, is it sexist? All she gets is like frying pans. As weapons.
Yes, it's definitely sexist. Okay. And she also doesn't get like any character development.
And she gets kidnapped
outside of like her parents run a preschool and everyone loves her in her hometown.
It's all backstory. That's literally all she gets. She gets backstory, and then she joins your group.
Yeah, she does call to you whenever you're traveling around the first town. If you stay at a hotel or something, every now and then you'll get a message while you're asleep in your dreams, and it's Paula calling out to you. So there's a little bit of that. But
that's more backstory.
No one but Ness gets any story in this game.
I think Jeff does. Because Jeff, becomes playable.
Oh, with Dr. Andnuts.
Yeah, he's got a dad, and like you interact with his dad. I mean, Jeff is, I like to think that Jeff is from England because he is from a town called Winters, and he's in a boarding school, and he's all like wearing school uniform throughout the entire game. Mm-hmm. And in order for him, how does he get notified about Ness? I think he has a dream or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like Paula calls up the name.
They get captured.
Without spoiling too much.
Yeah.
And he's like in this like boarding school, right? And like in order to get to Ness and Paula, he goes and finds the Loch Ness Monster, which is in Scotland, except it's not Nessie, it's Tessie. And he rides Tessie to Stonehenge. So it's like, I when I was playing, I looked over at Tyler, I was like, so Winters is pretty much the UK, right?
And I was like, oh, okay.
Because it's also an island, because he has to find his dad, and his dad fashions a flying machine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the setting is Eagle Land, right? Come on.
Right. Eagle Land is definitely America.
Right. Here's another controversial thing, because I want to bring it up, and it's on your shirt. How do you pronounce the name of the first city?
Oh, Nicole and I were arguing about this earlier. I've always pronounced it Onet, but I think that's Tyler's doing, because he introduced me to this game and pronounced it as Onet, mm-hmm. and that just stuck.
I think that it's obviously Onet, because it's Onet and
Tucson.
Three, four sides. So Onet.
Well, maybe it's Tuwosin.
Here's something I saw on Our Earthbound, because it's Onet, Tucson, Threed, Forside, Summers, so Sum, Tend to Village, 10. So you add 1, 2, 3, 4 together, you get 10.
Huh.
That it being a little thing.
Interesting. Yeah. But Jeff is your inventor character. He doesn't have any psychic powers. He's the only one in the group that doesn't.
No PP.
Yeah. No pee-pee.
He has no pee-pee.
He doesn't fucking need it.
Yeah, but he's an inventor. He's got a gun. He shoots people. He's got bottle rockets he can fire at people, which are
bottle rockets.
The deadliest weapon in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They make the game kind of, like, they're broken.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The bottle rockets are broken. And, like, because it's like you can throw a bottle rocket and the bottle rockets upgrade.
Big bottle rockets, not so bad. Bottle rockets are like a strong hit. Big bottle rockets are like a big critical hit.
Yeah. And then multi rockets.
Fucking multi bottle rockets.
Like I one shotted a boss with Jeff. First round, just throwing a multi bottle rocket. 6,000 points of damage. You're done.
Like Ness, Paula, and Pooh's most powerful spells together might equal one bottle rocket.
Yeah.
One multi-bottle rocket, rather.
Yeah, and I mean, they are one-use items that cost money, but by the end of the game, money doesn't matter.
God, you got so much money. You've got so much money, it's ridiculous. You mentioned Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
Pooh is the Eastern character.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the place he's from?
Dalam.
And my least favorite character out of all of them, just because I never knew what to do with him. I never, never knew what to do with him. He's got an ability called Mirror that I didn't really know what it did. And every time I tried it, it didn't do anything.
Or once they did do it, then the enemy was dead.
Right. And then, or he would do it, and then he would do like one of the, because sometimes when you fight an enemy, they don't actually attack or do anything. They just like do a flavor move mm-hmm. where it's like menacingly smiles. Pooh would always do that when I was in here. So it's just like garbage.
Yeah, Pooh, you have to kind of know what to do with him, because he's a martial artist. He uses no weapons or armor.
This is where you get the sexist part of the game with Paula, and I get the racist part.
So he doesn't have any weapons and armor, except for he's got one set. Typical RPG fashion, you're switching out items and, you know, armor
all the
and weapons.
Time.
Yeah.
Very
as
quickly.
As you progress for better equipment. Pooh doesn't have anything except for one set, most of which you can pass by and miss forever. And he has one weapon that he can equip, and that is an extremely rare drop in a dungeon that if you pass through, it's sealed forever. You can't go back.
I didn't get it. So the Sword of Kings.
You have to know exactly what you're doing. And if you get it, you have to spend so much time grinding that by the time you do get it, you're high enough level to beat the game easily. So
I think it's 1 in 128. For every enemy that has it, it's 1 in 128 chance to drop it. And that's the drop rate for, I think there are like 5 or 6 of those epic weapons in the game.
The in-game gear kind of thing.
And each one is that chance.
I didn't get any of them, and I didn't want to grind any of it either, just because I really enjoyed the challenge level of the game where it was. Like, I never felt like I was overpowered, except for multi-bottle rockets.
Mm-hmm.
But I never felt like I was way under or way above. I felt like they did a really good job of like balancing that curve. So I felt like the game was pretty challenging the whole way through.
Especially that's why I enjoyed Ness, because I feel like that was always, it was the right amount of difficulty when I was just Ness.
Yeah.
Because let's see.
There is a lot of bullshit in the game. Like you saying you liked it when it was Ness alone reminded me of the time that I went all the way through a dungeon got to the end boss, and he just cast a spell that every now and then will just kill you automatically, and it did. Or it's like, oh, well, great. I had fucking no chance at all of beating this boss.
Yep.
Because it was just like, he cast a spell. It happened to work. First thing, right out the gate, I'm dead.
Yeah, that was kind of a throwback to a cruel RPG era. Where,
which is weird.
Yeah.
Because like they wanted this game to be like accessible to non-RPG players. So that feels like it was really like off the mark from like everything else that they're trying to do in the game.
That's one thing I want to talk about Pooh, though.
Yeah, let's talk about Pooh.
He, being an Eastern character, he hates Western-style foods. So anytime you try to heal him with a traditional item, hamburger, cookie, things like that you normally use, he heals 3 hit points, and that's it, because he doesn't like it. You have to buy him foods from his hometown. Otherwise, you can't really heal him like that. But that being said, I feel like the Eastern-style foods, once I had access to Dalom, fuck everything else. Brain food lunches or GTFO.
So what do those do?
They heal you 250 and heal 50 PP, which recovering your PP is difficult to do.
Well, yeah.
Like they make it where they're all, like those items are hard to come by until that point. And then basically once I got to that point, Ness, Paula, and Pooh, their inventory was brain food lunches, and then Jeff was multi-ball rockets.
Yeah, you guys didn't really mention the inventory space. There is a very finite
amount of
inventory space in the game. And so you do spend a lot of time managing everybody's inventory space. Mm-hmm. And like a few annoying things, like if one of your characters get knocked out and they have an item you need, you have to trade it. With somebody who
retrieve it from their dead body,
pretty much, and then you can use it. So that, I mean, that does get a little annoying.
It's a little clunky, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, coming off of like a Final Fantasy game where you, I mean, have a much bigger inventory and you have party inventory, a shared inventory. It's weird going to a game where everyone has their own inventory. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of cool. Like it's, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like a complete negative. But at the same time, it's kind of weird because I'm not used to RPGs like that.
Let's see. And I'm also going to talk about, let's see. We haven't talked about the magic system at all, really, because it's everyone's psychic. There's no magic. It's all psychic powers.
Right.
And basically, you have your elemental psychic powers, which Paula and Pooh have access to, and then healing, which Ness and Pooh have access to, and then like buffs, which everybody has different buffs. But and it's all categorized in alpha, beta, delta, or omega.
Right. To distinguish their power.
Mm-hmm.
Like an alpha spell is less powerful than a beta spell.
Mm-hmm.
Which that brings up something that that I really enjoyed about this game, because I don't think before this I'd never seen it done before. The main character is your healer, which is kind of unusual. Usually, it's one of your secondary characters.
Yeah.
The main character is usually the damage dealer, which Ness is also. But
yeah, but it's costly because playing through the game, like, your Psy, whatever you name, Omega is pretty much the most powerful damaging spell in the game, but it's so crazy expensive, as opposed to like Starstorm, which is Pooh's signature spell, not as powerful, but costs way less magic. It is powerful because it's economical.
Mm-hmm. Is this, I know you've mentioned this before, this is how you learn Greek letters, right?
Yes.
This game. And it's like, I mean, if I were playing this as a kid, I wouldn't have encountered Greek number or Greek letters up until then. Roman numerals, maybe.
I was familiar with Alpha and Omega because being brought up in church.
Yeah.
So beta, Delta, and Sigma, because there is a Sigma level to some spells.
Well, beta is John the Baptist.
Let's see. Psy, teleport, change it. Once you get that, the game changes pretty dramatically.
Yeah, because we didn't talk about this earlier either. There's no overland. Like there's no giant map that you navigate to get from town to town. It's all just kind of cutscened away.
You have to take a bus.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's very linear. So it's not like in a Final Fantasy game where you get some kind of vehicle and then you can travel back to wherever you want to go. You do it through a spell, a Psy ability called teleport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't get teleport until you've already been to Foreside. So if for some reason you were in Foreside, needed to go back to 1-Up, You're welcome. you would have to go all the way through Threed, all the way through Tucson.
But walking also has its rewards because of one treasure chest that will be randomly on the road that you wouldn't get if you didn't walk.
Yeah.
And the Fuzzy Pickles guy.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Fuzzy Pickles guy.
So every now and then during the course of the game will freeze. Mm-hmm. And then a man with a top hat and a suit and glasses will spin out of the air and land.
Green beard.
Do you have a green beard?
Mm-hmm. He's a green beard.
I don't know.
And we'll tell you.
Beard.
I don't know. It's up to
if
it's up
you
for debate.
Say so.
He does. He has a green beard.
That he when he lands, he'll tell you, "Gonna take your picture." Everybody say Fuzzy Pickles, and then Nesh usually gives the peace sign and smiles. And all other characters
everyone else
do nothing.
Is stoic. And it's really jarring too, because like in a good way, because like the regular music stops. Like you say, the screen freezes. It totally does, and then like whatever music is playing stops, and there's special Fuzzy Pickles music that plays as he spirals down to you.
I always kind of a personal goal. I always tried every picture I could. I tried to get a teddy bear in.
Oh, yeah.
I did that my first playthrough. Yeah. Accidentally filled my inventory with teddy bears. Uh-huh. But the first half of the game, there's always a teddy bear in my picture.
So, yeah, teddy bears. Did you guys talk about those?
I don't think we did.
No. You can buy them at the department store. They go into battle with you as long as you have one in your inventory. And you can actually see it while you're walking around. It tags along behind you like you're dragging it behind you. But in battle, the teddy bear is like another person. So
it's like a character.
Yeah, so it can be attacked and it will just soak up damage for you until it's soaked up enough. And then it just turns into a pile
of fluff. It's pretty essential to have one on Paula like at early levels.
Yeah, yeah, especially at early levels.
She comes with one, actually. Like, she when you save her, she joins you and then goes, oh, wait, goes back and grabs her teddy bear and then joins you.
Which is great, because when you get all the characters besides Ness, I mean, all the characters start out at level one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's not level one, it's very low level.
Yeah, well, they start off like really low level, and then some kind of a game event will happen for them to gain a bunch of levels.
Right.
And catch up to you.
Which is really cool, because, I mean, it makes them feel more invested.
Mm-hmm.
And despite how hard they try, they'll never catch up to Ness.
Yeah.
Because Ness is a fucking
badass. Paula doesn't. She just tags along with Ness and relies on Ness to keep her alive until she gains enough levels. Now, Jeff, you do get to play with for a while.
And Jeff and Pooh, you play solo.
So that's more like sexist stuff,
The woman has to have a man to defend her.
Mm-hmm.
She can adventure by herself.
Yeah, because Jeff goes off on his own, has his own little adventure before he meets up with everybody. Pooh reaches enlightenment, you know, and becomes more powerful. So, yeah, it is pretty sexist game.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of bullshit because it's like nothing happens with Paula. Nothing happens with her. You get her early in the game and then like nothing happens. You get to the end of the game and they're like...
She gets kidnapped at one point.
That doesn't make anything better.
She is essential to beat the game. Are you going to talk about that? Is this too spoiler or what?
I think this is the point where, because we need to talk about it.
We do need to talk about
it. So this is the point where you have to say spoilers.
Yeah, definitely. If you intend on playing this game, which you should, stop listening right now. Maybe skip 2 minutes, 3 minutes ahead and catch the end.
There's actually quite a lot about the
All right, we'll just check out. We'll see you later. Josh decrees. We'll see you.
So this is also because... I remember kind of a sour look on your face about this, and then you weren't very happy woke up.
I hated it. I feel like this was a great game. Like, this would have been, like, honestly, this could have been a contender to be in my top 10 Super Nintendo games. And then this one thing knocked it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the game, it ended the whole game on a sour note for me because... I mean, you probably do a better job explaining it than I can. And then I'll just interject the part that I thought was bullshit.
We'll just talk about just the boss battle and not everything really leading up to it. But once there's a point of no return where once you save, like, that's it. That's where you are. There's no going back into the world. So past the point of no return, you go to the final level. And once you get to the boss, it's not a typical final boss battle. Like, there is sort of one with...
There is like
there's a dark, a very dark turn.
Yeah, it's a pretty pretty lighthearted humor, kind of cartoony game. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it just becomes like Lovecraftian.
Which is great.
I love it. Yeah, I love that too. And it does have your, there are different stages to the boss fight at the end, like a lot of RPGs mm-hmm. are. Which the first stage is pretty typical. You just damage your enemy.
The first form.
Yeah, the first form. This isn't even my final form. but yeah, it's your. But then yeah, it gets complicated. You have to do something very specific, and there's no, which was Nicole's problem. I know there's no indication that you're supposed to do that.
Well, mm-hmm. you get a little bit of a hint. You get a little bit of a hint because in this first form, like when you're fighting Gygas. In his first form, Pokey is there. And Pokey is a character. I love this. He's been an antagonist throughout the entire game. Even from the very beginning, he's one of the first NPCs you meet. And he's pretty much a dick to you and your mm-hmm. family. And then as the game progresses, he's more and more of a dick and he's a thorn in your side the entire time. Mm-hmm. You get to the end and you find out that he's dealing with Gygas, and you beat him. And then as he's leaving, he gives like a super vague hint where he's like, no one can help you, not even if you call out to everyone you know or something. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. something along those lines.
Because like, and the boss music, I think, is amazing. Yeah. I love the music. But when you beat Pokey, you beat Gygas' first form. Mm-hmm. You can also beat his second form, like through damage. Which I did. But it's that third form where it is an endless battle. You cannot win it. And I think it's sort of built around you wearing yourself down, like you go through all of your, because he doesn't like,
he's not doing
demolish
much damage.
You. Yeah.
He's not doing much damage at this point.
So basically he just wears you down through all of your inventory, through all of your PP, through everything.
Because you're using it all. Yeah. You're throwing everything you've got.
Because you cannot win. You mm-hmm. cannot kill him until like you're out of everything. And then you go to like, everyone has that side option, like their alternate ability.
Right. Like which Poo's
most are
mirror.
Totally useless. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeff has
Pete or spy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unlimited peeps.
And then Paula's is prey, which you can pray to the rest. Basically, if you don't have anything else to do with her, you can pray.
Right.
And it causes half and half good stuff or bad stuff, mm-hmm. which every time Dave watched it. So Dave, like you had the worst, you got dealt the worst hand in this game to actually finish it.
Every time I use Paula's prey ability, every single time I've used it in this game, like everyone in my party got the status of horrible status effects. Mm-hmm. It was just like, fuck, why do I, I'm never, I said to myself, like the fourth time it happened, I was like, I'm never using her ability ever again.
Mm-hmm. I only used it once until the final battle. I only prayed once and I was like, well, this is useless. I'm never going to do this again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's like every fucking time I did it, something bad happened. So I was like, well, clearly, I guess they're making some kind of God statement. I don't know. I'm never using prey again. And then cut to this last battle where that's what you have to use to beat the boss.
And it's mm-hmm. not just use it once and that's it. You have to use it several times.
It's like
times.
Eight goddamn but, times. Yeah, like it's a shitload of times. And then you use it once and nothing happens. And then you use it again, and then that's the final. That's the final blow. It's like, come the fuck on, it man.
Is. I knew like because. Right when you got to the final dungeon, I fell asleep.
Right.
I woke up just in time to have you be on that third form of Gygas, and you completely worn yourself out. I didn't want to tell you, you know, what to do, so I'm waiting for it to happen.
Your hints were pretty clear. And like, because, please, go ahead, I'm sorry. Because
you once, Paula got paralyzed, and she was out of PP. So literally, the only thing on her status was do nothing or pray. And when I saw you click do nothing,
yep.
I was like, he's not going to beat this game. He's going to die and be super frustrated and never pick it up again.
Because if I prayed, I thought for sure everyone in my party now has to fight the final boss with goddamn status effects on them. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happened every fucking time I prayed. Like if they want you to use it later on in the game, like make it beneficial.
Amen.
Every time you pray, make it beneficial. But don't make it as powerful as a recovery spell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like give... Because I was trained. That game trained me that praying was not something that I did in a battle, especially one that I thought was important because mm-hmm. it was going to fuck me over. So that's my big, gigantic gripe with the game. That's my biggest complaint. And I really do appreciate you giving me hints. I mean, they were pretty like heavy hints, but I needed them because otherwise you're right. Like if I had been wiped, I probably would have tried it again and I wouldn't have prayed. I guarantee it. And then I would have probably tried a third time, and then I would have given that game up for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's meant for you to like, yeah, I don't know what else to do. Fine, I'll pray. Holy shit, that did something. Because that's, I didn't tell Jacob. That's exactly the way Jacob went.
Yeah.
And like, it was good. I saw he enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine, I see the frustration of you can't win it on your own. You can't just beat the boss. You have to, there's a trick to it.
It's a gimmick.
It's not satisfying on that level. So, but on another level, I do enjoy what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it from like a story perspective where you're fighting, I guess, you're overwhelmed.
This thing can destroy the universe.
Right.
That's how powerful he is.
And then you start praying, everybody that you've met, everybody important you've met on your entire quest throughout the game starts coming together and helping you out.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. That's heartwarming.
Yeah, but yeah, as far as
it could have been done better.
Yeah, like I agree.
If you would have been able to do a similar thing in not such a big scale, like call on people that you had met previously to help you in smaller battles before then, that way it kind of worked up to it.
Yeah.
Then I think that it would have been better. No, I like the idea, but it was not well done.
I agree. I agree 100% because I also like the idea, but it felt...
Yeah, I mean, I never used Prey. I think whenever I played through it the first time, I used it once or twice. And even the beneficial stuff that does happen to you is almost negligible.
That's great. That's how it should be.
But the bad stuff right. is
The bad,
bad
stuff is really bad. I used it bad. Once and everyone was blind.
Yeah, but
everyone in the party was blind in the middle of this fucking fight.
whenever I did fight Gygas for my first time playing through, I remember being completely out of options and praying, and it worked, and I just felt like an intense sense of accomplishment, like I just figured out this grand puzzle. So I was happy with it.
I missed out,
but
I missed out, and maybe that's why you guys like this game so much, and I like it.
I understand your
complaint about
it.
But I don't
love
it.
I totally understand.
And if I maybe would have clicked Prey and something happened, I might have had... I guarantee you I'd had a better experience with it than feeling like I had to be led to it by someone who'd played this game a dozen of times.
Mm-hmm.
That really kind of like knocked it down
for me. Because you really like... Even when Jacob Prey, he didn't have a sour taste in his mouth over the ability. It's just like... And clearly it's possible, so you just had the worst possible experience you can really have with it. Like, they rolled the dice, and that would have been you getting two ones. Because, like, it's possible, and I'm sure plenty of other people had the exact same experience, and that is really bad. And it shouldn't be like that.
It doesn't destroy the game. But it what sucked is I enjoyed this game up until this point. And then it just ended on a sour note. Mm-hmm. That makes me sad because it's like, fuck, I really like I want to love this game, but like it ended on that note that was just a little sour, and it kind of tinted the game. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end on that note. You get to take everybody home. You get to escort Paula to her home because she can't leave on her own.
I'd be Gygas. I'm done.
I mean, Jeff and Pooh get to go home on their own, but you have to fucking
you take
escort Paula
home. Oh, shit. I mean, I completely understand that battle and why people don't like it. I can see why people do like it. So, but I agree. It could have been a lot better done. I like what they did. They just should have done it a better way.
It's a cool concept. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool concept. And I think that honestly, I wouldn't have sour grapes about it probably if you got more of a indication that that's you know, just some kind of hint other than the extremely vague one that Pokey says. I even tried using your fucking phone. I tried using my phone.
Yeah, you tried using the receiver phone.
Because I was like, Pokey said to call somebody. I guess I'll try. And nothing happened. That's when I was just like, well, fuck it. And you woke up and I was like, I asked you this. And this was another indicator. I was thinking about this the other day where it was just like, I don't like this. Because like you woke up, I looked at you and I was like, am I supposed to lose this? Like, is this one of these scenarios in an RPG where it's just you can't win. You're supposed to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So that just, it got me, it really riled me up.
I totally
it really did.
You want to hear my headcanon about Earthbound, the last part of Earthbound? There are all sorts of buildings and everything in the town, not one church. There are no churches. There's no really mention of religion, and there's no magic. There's only psychic powers. So I could also tell, Nicole, you kind of had a feeling like, I have to pray. Praying is bullshit. You know, the atheist part of you is like, I don't want to do that. So like,
I don't know. I don't think that it would have bothered me. Like, I don't necessarily think that it bothers me because it's prey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it didn't bother me either. I mean, just like casting magic in a game doesn't bother me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, I mean, I don't have to like buy into something in order for it to.
Because I feel like, as opposed to any deity or anything like that, everyone on in the planet, I don't know, I guess the continent that Ness is from is Eagletown or Eagleton, but like the majority of the world are all connected psychically. Like, that's what, there's no religion, there's no need for this a god figure in Earthbound, because everyone on a basic level is connected.
Imagine.
And at the it's end, the force. No. And at the end, when you're calling out to people, then they're basically adding their psychic ability onto yours. So whenever you're reaching out to more and more people and reaching out to those connections that you've made throughout the entire course of the game, because Gygax is too powerful for the four of you, so that praying isn't necessarily, it shouldn't be called pray. It should be called something else, because it's not praying to a higher power. It's more of you're pooling together the psychic ability of everyone you love.
And that makes sense too, because like then it would explain why bad shit happens when you pray too, because not everyone is good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you could get some feedback that way, where it's like, I really honestly did. When I prayed the first time and everyone was blind in the party, I was like, is God bad in this game? Like, that literally went through my head. Is that why everyone is psionic? Because, like, God is evil?
Maybe your interpretation. Maybe you're praying to Gygax. Maybe Gygax is the God in the...
So I wonder if that's a trend. I'd like to know in the original Japanese if the skill is called prey or if it's something different.
It should be like psychic link or something.
Yeah. It should be called something and should be explained. Like, everyone's ability should be explained in game. Pooh's mirror ability should be explained as opposed to just something he can do. The prey ability, or it should be renamed and explained what it does in the beginning.
Kappa needs to come down. And the background go black, and he explains to you what happens.
Earthman had no problem breaking the fourth wall, so why not do it for this?
Yeah, that's true. Josh, I really like that you mentioned how different the very end of the game is, because it is like exactly like you said, the game is super cartoony and pretty lighthearted, and then it does take this like super different turn where it gets really dark and really almost like oppressive. And I like that a lot, because all throughout the game, they're telling you how evil Gygax is, how evil he is. And then you've got this awesome juxtaposition to where it's like you go from lighthearted and cartoony to just like you said, Lovecraftian. And it's like that contrast is so hard that it had an impact on me. It really did. Because like the tone of the game just like on a dime turns. And you're like, oh God, this is like serious, especially compared to how everything else in the game is so bright and happy.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. I thought that was like an amazing storytelling element in the game that I haven't seen in any other RPG, period. And I loved that about it.
Yeah, everything from Gygax's, his every design of all his forms I enjoy, and his banter with you as you continue muttering. To play. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, he's this mindless, formless, just insanity babbling entity of pure evil. And
his power and evil grew too much that it broke his mind and broke his body.
I read.
And you are being told that he is an evil being, but you're being told by some like cartoonish character.
Right.
And so, you're not taking it seriously the whole time. You're being told that you're going up against this evil. And then, you get there and it's fucking crazy.
Oh, it's nuts. Yeah. And it's like, this is when you were talking about and last week, Tyler, you had mentioned that what inspired the creator was that scene in the movie that he interpreted as a rape.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that was actually a love scene that ended in a murder. He interpreted it as a rape.
Mm-hmm.
So like this boss battle, like that is a result of that scene that he stumbled in on. And I was reading about how when he was working with the person who was in charge of dialogue, they spent like a night going over everything that he wanted Gygax to say. And the rumor is that like by the end of the night, they were both crying because like apparently they, got super emotional about it. And it's like that comes through. It really does. Cause like I was fighting Gygax and he's saying these things to you and it really like struck a chord. Like, I mean, it was like I mean, with the music and the way the game all of a sudden got dark, and it looks dark, and it's visually like fucking scary. Mm-hmm. And then like he's saying things like, "I'm so happy" and shit like that. And it's all like drawn out. Mm-hmm. Just the things that he says to you, it's like, it made me feel really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like incredibly uncomfortable.
Because Pokey has been with you the whole, you know, trying to get in with Gygus the whole time. Whenever you basically free Gygus, Pokey's like, "Fuck this," mm-hmm. and gets the fuck out.
Yeah, he runs away. Yeah, I didn't mention that. I've forgotten. Yeah, because he's controlling him. Mm-hmm. And then you break that control, and you're right. Pokey's like, "Nope."
Hey, do you guys have any achievements?
I do. I do. Do you?
I do.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. These are obscure. BT
awesome. Perfect.
At least the first one is. I've got two. The first one is, and I wish John Turley hadn't left the room because he would really appreciate the title. "I wanted to destroy something beautiful. And in order to unlock 'I wanted to destroy something beautiful,' you have to kill 100 handsome Toms. Handsome Tom is an enemy that you find in Threed. And he is, I believe, like a marionette yeah. looking guy. You got to kill 100 of those and you unlock 'I wanted to destroy something beautiful.' The second achievement I've got is called Beta Club. And in order to unlock Beta Club, you have to learn Teleport Beta with Ness. And that's the most powerful teleport, mm-hmm. except for the one that Pooh uses at the very end of the game, where he just spins in one spot.
Yeah. And gives you presents.
Right.
A power he realizes a child.
A teleport with presents?
Let's see. Mine are, I've got Tales of a Gutsy Ninja, which that is, I got to explain that one. Yeah. Tales of a Gutsy Ninja is the, it's a Naruto reference. Jiraiya, who is his sensei. Jiraiya writes a book, Tales of a Gutsy Ninja, that Naruto's parents read and then name him Naruto after the main character in the book. So you unlock Tales of a Gutsy Ninja by getting the Sword of Kings and the Gutsy Bat.
Hmm.
We talked about the Sword of Kings. The Gutsy Bat is necessary.
Okay, we have to talk about this. You're right.
So much frustration. My least favorite part of the game is how much time Tyler and I both spent trying. Okay, there's a typo in the strategy guide.
It's not just like a typo. It's a bad paragraph. It is completely wrong.
So there's a point in the game where Ness has a dream, and it's basically a dungeon you have to go through. There are these two mini bosses. There are only two of them in the whole dungeon. So there's no place to save either. So
no place to save 30 minutes before or
right.
anything.
Yeah, so it's a good half hour for two tries at this supposed drop. And it's like a 1 in 100 and something.
A 1 in 128. Yeah. And it's said in the strategy guide that comes with the game that this boss drops the Gutsy Bat, the strongest bat in the game.
Right.
It even says, like, it has flavor text that the bat lies at the bottom of the sea and this creature is the only creature that can retrieve it for you. 1 in 128 chance.
Totally different, different enemy that drops it. Yeah,
100% wrong. 100 wrong area, wrong enemy. Totally wrong.
So Tyler and I, for hours at a time, would go through this dungeon, fight the first mid boss, doesn't drop it. Fight the second one, doesn't drop it. Reset. Go through this whole dungeon, do it again, over and over. And
I did that 128 times.
Oh my god. No, I don't. Oh my god, no, just no.
Yeah.
I could see myself doing that as a kid. That's no joke. I can totally see myself doing that as a kid. But I am glad that when I was playing it, I didn't want to deal with any of that shit.
So I still to this day have never gotten the Gutsy Bat ever. I know where it is now, but I've never gotten it.
One day,
Josh and Nicole are touching each other's breasts. It's pretty hot.
Yep. Yeah, I'm pretty aroused. I'm not gonna lie. Hey, John Turley just poured me a beer. Thank you. I think this is a beer or chocolate milk.
That's not the only misprint. Misprint about Ness's strongest weapon, the Gutsy Bat. Misprint about Jeff's strongest weapon, the Gaia Beam. Because it says that you get it from a treasure box in, like, the Tenda Village. That is, like, not even close to being right. It's actually a 1 in 128 chance drop off a random enemy in Lumen Hall.
Not even.
And it's a broken. You get the broken antenna, and then you fix that into the Gaia Beam. I think in the strategy guide, you get the broken parabolic and from the Tenda Village and turn it into the baddest Gaia Beam, which is in no way correct.
Right.
So
Speaking of Lumen Hall, I don't know if you guys ever seen it. I think it's on YouTube somewhere. Have you seen the proposal?
As soon as they finished Lumen Hall, I said, come here and watch this.
Okay.
And showed him that. So,
yeah, put that up on the show notes.
There's a pretty sweet-ass corgi in that video. Hey, Meg.
Hey.
dropping off a baby monitor.
Dropping it off.
My second achievement. Million point rocket. And you get that by dealing 1 million points of damage with bottle rockets over the course of Earthbound.
I probably could unlock that.
Yeah.
I use bottle rockets liberally.
And then my last one being Daddy Warbucks. You get that by having $1 million in the bank.
Also not that difficult to do, I don't think.
I think the funniest thing in the game is after the credits roll, it shows all the different characters that you've met. And they're like off doing funny things, you know, they're all animated as it scrolls down through, and then it gets to your dad and it's just a telephone.
Yep. And even they kind of explain that at one point, you get a cutscene of Ness's parents talking and Ness's mom basically just kind of gushes about what a hard worker his dad is. So that's why he's always gone. He's working and just giving you crazy amounts of money.
I've got an achievement. It's don't forget to floss. And you get that whenever you use the toothbrush in combat, which toothbrush is a pretty obscure, kind of a junk item.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever had one.
You get toothbrushes.
I think the new age retro hippie drops a toothbrush.
Yeah. And he'll use it in combat against you too. But if you use it, there's a chance that you'll brush your teeth. They'll become so shiny you can reflect the sun back at your enemies and it blinds them.
Okay. It basically does a flash alpha spell.
Okay, cool.
Nicole, anything?
Obedient Sun, and that would be when you talk to your dad on the phone and he tells you to quit for a while and you turn the game off.
Or kind of a glitch in the game is, once you get the receiver phone, did we talk about that?
No, we mentioned that there is a receiver phone.
And your dad will call you and say, you've been out there for a while, you should probably call it quits. He will call you and say that before you get the receiver phone.
Mm-hmm. So. And it happened to me like when I was standing right in front of my telephone in Ness's house. And it was just like, what the? I didn't hit the button. I don't understand what the fuck's going on. So I kind of just looked at Tyler because like the phone is ringing and I'm trying to walk up to the phone, but I can't because when your dad calls you on your phone, it just... everything stops. You have to hit one of the B or A buttons.
You answer the telephone when your dad comes.
So it was just kind of like, I looked at Tyler, I was like, I can't get to the phone. What do I do? Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Dave.
I've had fun talking about hand jobs and having sex with my family.
Nicole's butt.
Now I know her preference. Hang to press. Interesting. I would have pegged you for a presser, but that's cool. Now I know a little bit more about you.
You don't have to deal with the smudge marks if you...
Ah.
She's very practical in her mooning.
It is hard as fuck to wash car windows from inside, especially the windshield. But if you're mooning through the windshield, then maybe you're having fun.
We're gonna drive home right after this with her ass hanging out.
Yep.
I've had a lot of fun, Tyler, but I have a question for you.
Yes.
If you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would you give it?
Because Earthbound is a game, I mean, one of my most beloved games, and is a game of juxtapositions. So I would have to give it, and this is Cheers-based, not Frasier-based. This is Cheers-based.
Okay.
The occasional beard of Frasier Crane.
The occasional beard of Frasier Crane.
He doesn't always have a beard.
Right.
But when he does have a beard, it is reminiscent of that beard is what I give Earthbound. Because Frasier, what's funny about Frasier is how out of place he is in this bar and how intelligent he is as opposed to the rest of the patrons and how he gets mixed up in things. And then, of course, the spinoff Frasier is a fucking fantastic show. Cheers is a fantastic show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of people's top five favorite shows.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Out of all the shows you want to fuck, Frasier's on that list.
And I know, I wish John Turley was in here for this one too. Because
he keeps
leaving.
I don't know what the fuck.
I've heard him testify how much he really likes Lilith from Cheers and Frasier.
Okay.
So that is a very particular taste to be into Lilith.
I'll say.
Link in the show notes.
I like that he is playing our surrogate audience again this time by checking the fuck out while they're talking. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
It's a pretty good beard. I like that beard. But if you were to give this game a pair of glasses, mm-hmm. the one thing that I care about the most in the mm-hmm. world, what kind of glasses would it be?
Because it's sort of glasses being something you see through. So, and again, being sort of a juxtaposition, being different, but also being part of something that people generally universally love.
Miller's not going to like this because it's not going to be a pair of glasses.
I'm not going to like it either.
I give this the off-color eye of Spike Spiegel.
Okay. Not a pair of glasses, but I do like Cowboy Bebop, so you've won me over. What's that condition called when you have two different colored eyes? Nicole, go.
Heterochromia. My brother has it.
I believe that is right.
Or
my brother has
prosthetic eye.
My brother and I both have brown eyes, but one of his eyes, a quarter of it, is blue.
I never noticed that. Next time I see him, just stare.
Get in his face.
Just stare deep in his... No, that sounds so aggressive.
Y'all get real close. Like, Ryan, don't move.
Sounds aggressive.
Ryan, don't move.
I'm just going to put one finger in my mouth and just kind of move up. You're like, let me look at your eyes. I want your eyes, boy. Tyler, got another question for mm-hmm. you. If you were to buy this game on Amazon, I want to know how much is this game on Amazon used?
This is one of the holy grail games.
It is. I know, it's a big deal. You own it.
I do. I believe one of the last times I checked, I'm going to say
$180. $180. Mm-hmm. John's back. Hey, John. How much do you think this game is on Amazon, John?
$46.
All right, $46 from John Turley. $180 from Tyler. Nicole, what do you think?
$158.
$158 from Nicole. Josh, how much is this game on Amazon?
I was going to say 160. Should I?
You still can.
Should I? 160.
Josh going 160, 158 from Nicole, 180 from Tyler, and John 46. Okay. Actual retail value of Earthbound used on Amazon at the time of this recording was $162. Mm-hmm. Josh, you won it by overbidding Nicole $2. Yeah.
Dirty trick.
So congratulations.
I guess we know who the smarter Nance is.
Yeah, clearly Josh. He strategized the fuck out of Nicole.
You get to drive home and I get to stick my ass out.
There's a new copy. There's a new copy on Amazon. Anyone want to take a stab how much it is new?
$2,000.
$2,000 from Josh.
Everything complete.
Yeah, strategy guide and everything, I'm assuming.
It's all I know is it's new. Don't throw too many curveballs my way.
$600.
$600? Nicole, you got a guess?
$375.
$375. John Turley, you got a guess?
$46.
$38. $200. Actual retail value of Earthbound new on Amazon at the time of this recording was $1,249.49. Baby monitor was surprised as fuck to hear that.
That is the most expensive game I think we've talked about.
I think you're right. We got a request that I want to do real quick.
Oh, cause yeah, I was gonna explain. Yeah, normally we don't take calls and texts on Original Flavor Wednesday, but these are about Earthbound, so it still pertains to the game.
Well, I've got one. I've got one text in particular that I want to read because it's a really good question. It brings up something that we talked about in the first part of Earthbound, and there's a request attached to this as well. So it's like a 3-in-1. This is from 580, and 580 says, you asked if Psyduck was modeled after Mad Duck. What about Ness looking like Ash? And I think that's extremely valid. And that's something that I felt embarrassed that I didn't even like pick up on. I guess it's just because I always thought Ness was Ness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But
two very distinct characters in Smash Brothers, all right? You can play as the Pokemon master.
Yeah. The trainer.
We can say that Ash is anime only. The canon name for the Pokemon character, the Pokemon trainer, is Red.
So Red or Ness. I didn't put that together. I think that's interesting. I would love to see a game that's just Ness and Mad Duck. I think that'd be cool. Let's, let's make that happen. Movie rights, anybody? He also said, please do a Where Are They Now for Ape. And I think that's a really good request because that's a segment that we haven't done for a very long time that I know John Turley of NBA James fame has said on several occasions that he enjoys. Tyler, where is Ape?
Ape's got to be defunct.
What do you think they do now?
I think they were probably dismantled and other studios bought up their programmers and it's just Apes no more.
Okay. Anyone else have any guesses?
What was it for a long time? A lot of them made casino game machines now.
Pachinko. Pachinko.
Where are they now? Ape. They are now Creatures Inc. Or as it's known in Japan, Kabushiki Gaisha Kurikashazu.
Creatures Inc.'s a lot easier.
Yeah, let's just go with Creatures Inc. It's a Japanese video game development company. It was founded by Ishihara in November 1995 as a successor to Itoi's company, Ape Inc. Okay. So that's where Wikipedia brings you if you type in Ape Inc. They take you to Creatures. So I don't know. Technically, you're right. I'd say they're defunct, but at least
it's still they rebranded.
Take comfort in knowing, yes, that it still lives on somehow. They have 84 employees as of April 2014. their list of games developed, they do include the Mother series. Mm-hmm. So there's Mother, Earthbound, Mario Super Picross. Picross? Picross?
Picross,
Picross.
Oh, I was thinking Picross. Like pies. Like.
Mario's Mario's pie Italian crust. Pie crust.
I do like pie. I'm a pie guy.
Earthbound 64, 1999, canceled. Do you know about that?
Earthbound 64 with a disc drive, but it was what was there. Looks, because I watched an interview about it, the programmers really weren't up to snuff with the 3D programming, so it was canceled and turned into Mother 3.
Gotcha. They developed Pocket Camera, Pokemon Trading Card Game, Pokemon Emerald, Pokemon Ranger, Pokemon Ranger Shadows of Almia, Pokemon Ranger Guardian Signs, Poke Park Wii, Pikachu's Adventure, Poke Park 2, Wonders Beyond.
That really ties into 580's question. Yeah,
I know. And I think this is also really interesting, 580. You bring up Psyduck. I have read online this. Here's the deal. I was so moved by the fight with Gygax that I wanted to like get to the heart of it. I was like, what is this all about? And by doing that, I found a lot of interesting information. One of the things is in the first Mother game, you fight Gygax in a different form. I can't remember what his name is. And he may even just be Gygax. But you fight him in a different form before he's an evil, swirling Galactus cloud. And he looks like Mewtwo. Like, his form looks like Mewtwo. Like, several people have mentioned, this looks like a skinny Mewtwo with one neck instead of two. And a lot of people speculate that Mewtwo was based on Gygax's original form, especially with the tie back to Creatures Inc. doing a lot of Pokemon games. So that who knows?
I was just, I blew through that as quickly as I could. Like, I did not
Mother One.
Enjoy Mother One very much.
Oh, that's a shame.
Because, like, well, imagine how good Jeff would be if you took away the bottle rockets and took away him repairing stuff.
Not good.
That's
not good at all.
Because supposedly the equivalent to his character is supposedly Dr. And Nuts in Mother One. And he's awful. He's awful, awful, awful. You lose him for a brief time and pick up a guy
and
named
Teddy.
And you're
thankful.
Yeah. Because you pick up Teddy and Teddy is badass. Teddy is just like, he's just a gangster you pick up. It's like.
Is he the.
Teddy might be Frank. From One It, because they're modeled very much, they're very similarly.
I was thinking the guy who sells you the bottle rockets, the
shady looking
character.
Yeah.
And yet he's just like knifing people and doing like ludicrous amounts of damage until you lose him and you pick up Dr. Antonuts again. And
welcome
it's just like,
back.
There goes like literally 60% of my strength gone.
Awesome. Well, I know Mother 3 is on your list of games to do for the Games Tyler Loves series. I'm actually looking forward to playing that. I really am. I really enjoyed this game. And if I could sign off with one note, that would be that this game really surprised me. I reluctantly played this game. because I tried it before and I just didn't like the flavor. I didn't like the style. But this is actually a really, really good RPG. And I think that I have played a few of the other games, a few of the other RPGs that are lower on IGN's list. They're like in the top 10. I actually think this game is better than, I know Secret of Mana isn't in the top 10, but it's rated better than this game. I kind of think that's bullshit. Which is interesting that they're so close together on the list, because Secret of Mana is very much like an entry-level RPG, mm-hmm. just as Earthbound is. So it's kind of cool to see like the two sides of the coin there, because Secret of Mana takes an entirely different approach. And I also think it's better than Super Mario RPG.
See, I have such an intense personal connection to this game, it's hard for me to be really objective. For me, it's one or two, 100%.
Yeah.
But stepping back, trying to step out of that, I do think it should be top 10.
I agree.
I think it's crazy that it's not top
10. I agree.
10.
I think it should be like closer to 10 than 1, but I think it should be on the top 10 Super Nintendo games. I wouldn't put it into my personal list of top 10 games, but like as far as looking at it objectively, I think it definitely would deserve to be in there.
So, Nicole, because you played Mario RPG, then you played this and then Chrono Trigger? Or Chrono Trigger and then Earthbound?
I played Chrono Trigger and then Earthbound.
How do you feel like Earthbound stacks up against Chrono Trigger? Because that's most people's...
Oof.
I prefer Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do too.
I did. Whenever I was playing Chrono Trigger, I did not get that sense that I did in Earthbound, where I was like, okay, this is dragging out a little too much. I'm ready for this to be done. Never got that with Chrono Trigger. So.
Yeah, the pacing in Chrono Trigger is phenomenal. What are you going to do?
I'm just happy that everyone here at this table has played it.
I think it's better.
It means something to me that everyone has played it.
I think it's better than Link to the Past. I'll say that right now.
That is a bold statement.
I think Earthbound is a lot better than Link to the Past. I really do. I'd rather play Earthbound than spoilers for IGN's number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good.
I'm sad that we're done with it, though.
I kind of am, too. I feel like we should... I mean, I'm happy to drag this on.
Do we have any more... No, any other pertinent Earthbound calls?
I went through, and there are some calls that we can get to on a Monday.
Okay.
They're not Earthbound specific.
Okay.
And if there are some that I overlooked, I'm really sorry. We will get to them
eventually. So thanks for coming on, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Tyler.
This is whenever you came up with the idea, this was what I was really drew me to even do Tadpog.
The idea of the show?
Of Earthbound.
Earthbound is... Yeah. So now that Earthbound's
done... Yeah, he's done.
I need to find another guy?
Probably.
I was going to say, was it worth the wait? Because it's taken you kind of a long time
to
get
here.
It's
taken a long time.
Just shy of 2 years. No,
having...
Don't worry, we made so much money doing it.
And I was at least in the room for pretty much the whole time, most of the time you played it. So we got to play this together. And that made it worthwhile. You playing it and us playing it together was great.
This was definitely it was definitely fun playing with another person, mm-hmm. especially someone who had played it a bunch of times, because I felt like I could have conversations about the game as I played it, which is really cool, instead of trying to just remember everything. I could actually just enjoy it. So I thought that was cool.
Any other additional commentary? We wrap this shit up.
No, I'm good.
Wrap it up.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode, next Original Flavor Wednesday. We'll be talking about the original Mega Man X. And for Monday, something Ready Player One.
Yeah, something easy. Give us something easy. Yeah. Let us do something easy, please.
So if you want to help us out, we love 5-star iTunes reviews.
We fucking love them.
Can't get enough.
Love them. So much so.
Zork and Earthbound have blown the fuck up. Like,
I know. That's what I was just about to say.
Per day.
Which is amazing that we don't see those kind of numbers. And like, I think this is less us bragging and more saying fucking thank you, mm-hmm. for doing what you do, listener, because like, I actually looked on iTunes the other day, and for some reason, I think it's some 5-star reviews, we actually show up now when someone hits the video game category. We show up now. Someone doesn't have to search for us. It's just, we're down at near the bottom of the list, but we're on there.
No, that's awesome.
And that's because of the 5-star reviews. So like, they really do make a difference. So
we have 78 of them.
How many?
78.
Wow.
So we need you to pray for more 5-star reviews. Just keep praying. If bad things happen to you, just keep praying.
Yeah. If you don't do it, Gygus is going to attack us in a way that we can't comprehend.
I guess we also forgot to mention that the most important prayer to kill Gagas comes from you, the player.
That's true. Mm-hmm. They do break the fourth wall.
I didn't pray when I played the game.
I watched you. The screen said you did. You prayed so hard, and you hit Gagas for like 20,000 points of damage.
Now, Tyler, you say you love this game. Well, name the boss of the game.
So giving you this five-star abuse helps us.
Yes, and thank you if you've already done it.
And we try to further incentivize it by if you... In this five-star written review, if you include a game that you want to do, want us to talk about and play, be it a bad game or a good game, whatever, we'll do it. If you want us to have a special guest host on some episode that you know we're going to do, include that there. It's going to happen.
Tim Allen.
Please get Tim Allen.
I would love to get Tim Allen. I would love to get Tim Allen talk about the home improvement game.
Or I'll do a 2.5-hour Tim Allen impression.
Or maybe we could just get like a lookalike. It doesn't sound anything like Tim Allen, but he looks a lot like
Tim Allen. We assure you, listener, right? He looked just like Tim Allen.
It's just Josh.
We put him in a tie. Yeah. He's carrying like a power saw. Looks just like Tim Allen.
Speaking of Tim Allen, I saw something I'm pretty excited about. Galaxy Quest is on Netflix.
No shit?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on it. I know what I'm doing when I get home. Probably playing Reaper of Souls, but maybe eventually I'll watch Galaxy Quest.
And I guess we could even be your emergency contact or your alibi. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much it'll stand up in court, but we can try.
Oh, it'll stand up.
But regardless of whatever you put in that five-star review, we will get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about other shit on Monday. We're going to figure that out. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. I know there's going to be a Galaxy Quest show note in there, so check that out. Also, I want to thank you again for everyone who's given us five-star reviews, because, like, seriously, this week, that's been, like, super exciting, checking the number of listens, because that's actually felt like super, super rewarding. So if you've given us a five-star review or retweeted us or liked us on Facebook, man, thank you so much. That really, really means a lot. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there. They're doing a lot of cool shit, blowing up the Earthbound post. I fucking love it. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everyone who's retweeting and tweeting at us. I'm actually tweeting more and more off the toilet now. So
it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pretty big deal. I was like, this week, I was like, you know what? The listeners, they fucking came out and got us some more fucking listens. And so I'm going to tweet off the toilet as a reward.
Dave is also getting really, really terrified of shitting on that toilet.
You know, I'm actually getting surprisingly comfortable shitting. Like every time,
that's not a good thing to do.
Yeah, like every time I'm taking a dump at work and I look around, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I got used to this. This is horrible.
Well, it's like I always think about what Tim Gunn says whenever he was on what little Project Runway I've actually watched. Uh-huh. I think I've seen like three episodes total.
Yeah, Tyler.
No, Blake Woods is very into Project Runway, and the last
games or shows Tyler would fuck. Frasier cheers Project Runway,
specifically Tim Gunn. But like, we had to watch the finale at like Blake had a gathering at his house in D.C. and everyone got together to watch the finale of Project
Oathbreaker?
Runway.
Oathbreaker is a big
Woods.
Fan.
Yeah, and
commissioner of our fantasy football league.
And Tim Gunn is talking to a contestant and who is like. At the end, they all break off for like 6 months and go design their own thing. And Tim Gunn goes to one of their houses, and it's just like, oh, fuck, this is really bad. And he's talking to the contestant. He's trying to eloquently
like the house is
criticize
bad.
Them. Just their
design is
their
bad.
Design is bad.
Ah, gotcha.
It's like, I think you've been by yourself a little bit too long, because it's sort of like living in the monkey house.
Mm.
And when you first get in the monkey house, uh-huh. You're like, oh my God, this smells so bad. There's hair everywhere. This is awful. Mm-hmm. You hate the monkey house. And then like a few days later, it's like, okay, it doesn't smell that bad in here. It's a little dirty, but it's mm-hmm. fine. And a few weeks living in the monkey house, you don't even notice it anymore. Everything's fine. And that's what your designs are like.
Well, and that's also how the toilet at work is like. So, but at least... Unfortunately, I don't get to watch monkeys fuck in my bathroom like you would at the monkey house.
So until next time, how are we going to do it? How are we going to decide how we're going to do this?
Wait, you have to. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We got our legal obligations. Mm-hmm.
Do you even tadpog?
Our intro song, Tyler.
Me? You're going to ask me?
Mm-hmm.
It is Moves
mm-hmm.
by Sycamore Drive.
And link to that track
can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Nailed it. Nailed it like a host, like a regular ass host.
Not like I haven't been editing a lot of episodes.
Yeah, like all of them.
I'm up with a baby really late. It's fine. It works out.
You say you like it. I don't know whether you're lying, just to be polite.
I do like that decision when I'm editing every episode Nicole is on where it's like, do I make this the stinger or do I risk her not talking to me for about like 2 weeks?
Yeah. There's been a few of them that might be longer than 2 weeks.
There's one in particular that I know if I made it the stinger,
she
would never come on the show again and probably wouldn't talk to me till the next big holiday.
Yeah. So let's.
We'll have to talk about afterward what that was.
Paywall. Paywall material.
I know.
I'll tell the Jasmine story, and then that will be in the stinger theme.
Nicole, we'll give you a cut of all the proceeds.
I know how we can do the tropical Capricorn.
Okay.
We put the baby monitor on the middle of the table.
Okay.
We run into the baby room and I'll scream it.
It's pretty good.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
I mean, it sounds like a great idea. I just don't want to do it.
Tropical Capricorn.
Click, 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 click.
What the fuck are you doing in the baby's room? Who's that doing with this? Josh, get the fuck out of this room.
See you next holiday, man.
We all say it like a baby. Just be really weird. Just baby talk. Nicole likes that idea.
Okay, let's do that.
Uh-huh.
So until nope.
You gotta do it, Nicole.
This was your idea.
We all have to do it. If we're not all doing it, we're not doing it.
No, we're all doing it. We're all doing it. It's gonna be so good.
Nicole, if you don't do it, I'm not gonna talk to you the next holiday.
No, we're all gonna say we're gonna do it, and then we're gonna stop talking, and nobody's gonna say anything, so you can all.
I promise.
I promise. I'm gonna do it.
Then I'm not gonna
one,
do
two,
it.
Three, go, and then I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do baby boys.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people are gonna replay when they masturbate later.
Yep. So until next time, 2, 3.
Tropical Capricorn. Nicole, you didn't see anything.
I did.
You have to do it alone now.
She started. She went, shame.
I don't do voices. Nope.
I've heard you do an Ashley Shake voice.
Again.
Okay. So this is an email I got earlier today. Nicole's going to read it for me.
Okay.
Hello. How are you doing? You is a single letter there. Hope you are having a splendid day. We found your contact on search engine, proper noun, and just wanted to know if you would be available to provide deep tissue massage for me and my wife. On 25th to 31st of October in your massage therapy office there in Kentucky. ...
Mm-hmm. Oh, the elusive double ellipses.
Preferably in the morning or afternoon. Thanks, Pablo.
What's the email address?
Pablo.Suarez07.
At?
Are you going to email this guy?
No, I just want everyone listening to know his email address.
No, it's okay.
It's the R and the U on all accounts are a single letter. Search engine is a proper noun. Deep tissue massage is in quotations.
Do you know this person? Or
no.
So
this is totally spam.
Preferably in the morning or afternoon. So basically during the day.
I do have a bunch of business cards with my email address on it and my business name. So yeah. I mean,
So
could be legit. I don't know. I don't want to do a quotation
There's
marks.
No way that's legit.
Deep tissue massage deep for tissue 6 days. Massage. On so these two people.
I think that it's an invitation for a threesome.
A foursome.
No,
threesome.
Foursome. No, it said bring your wife, didn't it?
No. That guy and his wife and you. So it's going to be a male female threesome. How you feel about that?
Yeah. Is that your first male female? I know you've had male female like all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Is it going to be weird with another dude?
No, I mean as long as we're Eiffel Towering, and that's as close as we get.
You and Pablo Spambot. No one says search engine like as a proper noun. That's like a scripting error.
I love, did you mention the spacing between how are you doing space ?
Yeah, all the punctuation and then, yeah, space and then before and
you're
after.
You're having a splendid day. Space period space.
I
threesome bot.
Been coordinating some package printing for some like pharmaceutical tubes, and all the printing is being done in China. And it's obvious that they just take the emails that I send them and like Google Translate it, and then they type a response and Google Translate it. I got one random one that I laughed my ass off. I came into work on Monday, and there was an email waiting from Doris. That's this person that I talked to, Doris.
Doris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the email is, I just realized it's your weekend. Happy weekend. All right, cool. Thanks, Doris.
And do they get a different weekend? Well,
I guess.
Do they get a weekend?
Apparently not.
No. Your weekend is coming up pretty soon, Dave. So
just wanted to tell you.
No weekends.
Happy
in China.
Weekend.
I've got a weekend coming up.
Hopefully,
something
we all
I need
do.
To know or like what's?
Like it's Pablo and his wife.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, I'm going to respond to that.